Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I've had some fun preaching this morning. So we're in a series right now called Yes and Amen. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Everybody say in Christ. I'm going to preach about that later. They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us. That's an interesting dichotomy there of God's sovereignty and his plan to use you. Because you might be sitting there thinking, why doesn't God do more? And he's sitting in heaven saying, why don't you do more? Listen to that. Through him, spoken by us. That's yes and amen working. In the collision of his yes and your amen, some miraculous stuff happens. That you can't work out the yes of God in your life without doing it through him. But God doesn't want to do everything on the planet without it being spoken by you. And does your life speak the promises of God? But I want to tell you that he's not done yet. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's not done yet. I know, I'm going to preach you to here today. That you have promises in your life down here. And you have this thing in your life of where you've come from, your old life, or it could be said the past. So you've got the future, you got the past, you got his yes, and in between, you got amen. Or you've got faith. A way to say it. The appropriation of God's promises in your life from you going from your born-again version of you, the old version of you, the part that's changing, that God wants, God is calling you to something. He wants to turn you into something. The tomorrow version of you is far better and more beautiful than the today version of you. Do you believe it? I know some of you look in the mirror and you're like, man, I was really impressed with what I saw this morning. But I'm telling you that God is more impressed with who you're becoming than who you are currently right now. Come on, somebody give God some praise. Spoken by us, the amen. And so we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 because we understand that the appropriation of God's yes in our life happens by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. You can turn heaven on its axis based on your faith. Did you know that? Couple of people do. A couple of people are just going to have to believe me. And the faith scripture in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to start at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, who's the father of faith, when called to go to a place. God's call is like a speaker from here, from the future, calling you to a place. God is calling you to something. God is calling you to a tomorrow. There is a plan far brighter in your future than what you currently are experiencing today. There is a plan that you have an inheritance in heaven that is far greater than the earth you live in today. All right, so we're preaching a series about amen. There is a plan called heaven. And it's your inheritance. And it's far brighter than the world that you live in today. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The ultimate promise is this place called heaven. And we have faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And that gets us the yes that is heaven in our life. So Abraham was called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance. You are called to a place that you will later receive as your inheritance. You have an inheritance in God. Do you know that? Man, you've already forgotten. You have an inheritance in God. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to work on you today. So he obeyed and went. God's inheritance doesn't come without your went. You got to take a step. You got to move. You got to do something. You got to actually appropriate the yes of God through your obedience. You got to get it working in your life. There's an action. There's a movement on your part that God is looking for. And he might speak to you about that action specifically today, maybe. Hear as is to hear, let him hear. Obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Isn't that faith? There might be some people in the room, and this middle section called life might feel as ambiguous as anything. You might feel so lost in the fog. Anybody felt like that? You know you're going somewhere, and you know you're not where you used to be, but you have no idea where you currently are. Am I speaking to somebody today? Kind of going through a gap in the middle that feels strange. That feels like, man, I know God's called me somewhere. And when God called Abraham and said, I'll take you to a land that I will show you. And he didn't show him all at once because I think God wants to walk this life with us. And if God told you everything specifically as it were going to be, and you knew every answer, you'd be God and you would no longer need to pray. And God doesn't want to give you all the answers, and maybe God doesn't give you all the answers because he simply doesn't want to be left behind. Because how many people know that sometimes we pray until we feel okay, and then the moment that we feel okay, we stop praying. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that sometimes God leaves us in a state where we're not that okay just simply because he doesn't want to be left out. Just saying. God wants relationship with you. That is the point. The problem about being a visionary, and you're a visionary here today, the problem about being a visionary is you never actually get to the vision. And it never makes sense along the way. Faith always makes sense looking backwards, hardly makes sense looking forward. And the reason is because you're meant to do it in leaning in and trusting in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants you to walk on water, but he's not going to tell you how to get it done because he is the one with the miracles. He is the miraculous God, and he wants to do it with you. God with you. We exist to connect people to God. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, not you. Otherwise, I'd connect you to somebody else who's pretty close to awesome, like Mark Bone. How many people love Mark Bone? But I want to tell you something here today. Mark Bone does not have all the answers. As much as you may think he does, only Jesus does. Mark needed to hear that today. Oh, I'm playing. All right. So, now check this out. So he did not know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promise. By faith, he made his home in the promise like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. When you cause the promises of God to come in your life, you know there are heirs around you that will benefit from the yes of God over your own life. There are people around you that will benefit from your breakthrough. Do you know that? You ought to believe for breakthrough, not just for yourself, but for all the people, friends and family around you. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Okay, so the title today is Press to Yes. Press to Yes. So I want to give you three quick points about how you can get to the promises of God, the yes of God in your life. The three quick points are don't get comfortable or get uncomfortable. What is the point? Yeah, don't get comfortable. No one can see the screen, hey, because I blocked it with this. The first one is don't get comfortable. The second one is forget what is behind. And the third one is press on in Christ. In Christ. Come on, we're going somewhere. I want there to be some expectation in the room today. Some expectation of where we're going. Don't get comfortable. He made his home in the promise. And he was like a stranger in the land. Do you know, don't get comfortable. When you first get saved, your home is where you're at. And then a strange thing happens called God. And when you first meet God, the things of God feel strange. But the things that you're used to, you feel at home in. Does anybody feel at home where they are? But the picture of God over your life feels somewhat scary and strange. Sometimes we can feel more at home in our addiction than we do in our healing. Because if we didn't have the dependence on that addiction that we feel comfortable with, that we've gotten used to, we don't know what healing would look like. And some people hold on to barriers because the idea of breakthrough scares them. It's like the Shawshank Redemption. When he gets released, he didn't know what to do, the old man. He was in prison for so long. And there are people that are in prison to their past for so long that they don't know what to do with freedom. So when Jesus says, I'm here to set you free, they would prefer to stay bound where they are. Because we're at home with something and we're strange to something else. But what Abraham did is he made his home in the promise. And when you make your home in the promise, even though you're currently still running the race of life back here, even though you're back here, your old life, when you start to make a choice by faith to make your home your yes, the current standard of your life, the current circumstances, the current problems that you live in, they start to feel strange. Do you get what I'm saying? So what we need to do by faith is understand that God is taking you somewhere that you're not done yet. And the first step to going somewhere is understanding you've got to get uncomfortable with where you currently are. You are not going to go to a place if you feel like it's strange and you're happy with the comfort zone of where you currently are. This church is not going to go to where God is calling this church to go if this church gets comfortable and settles where it currently is. What we need to do is dislodge and get dissettled with where we currently are. Put our home and our living room into the future and understand that God is taking us to a place. Understanding that we need to go from our current place of sitting, and go to a place where God has some expectation. And when you place your home where the promise is, it's got pulling power and it will take you to where you're going. We're not done yet. We're not settled. Kenzie has expectation. She has so much expectation. My 1-year-old daughter has so much expectation. She has not yet learnt the reality that her parents have limitations. And so when we give her banana bread, she just thinks that banana bread is never going to stop flowing. And so because she has childlike faith and has not yet learnt the limitations of our world, her expectation thinks that banana bread is always going to come. And then when the banana bread stops, she cries. Because she doesn't understand that daddy don't got no more banana bread. And I think when God says to have childlike faith, he wanted you to have an expectation of heaven that it is unlimited. And that you know that you live in a place of limitation, but you know that the only time you ought to start crying is because of the limitations of your current comfort zone, and understand that there is an unlimited future ahead of you. And if you knew the unlimited future that God has for you, you would not settle for being comfortable with where you currently are. Come on, give God some praise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those in this church. Literally, the C3 Toronto version of the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for C3 Toronto. What God has prepared for you, put your mind there, put your faith there, put the vision of the living room of your mind. The pictures of people's worlds, when the pictures are so stuck in the past, the pictures of your mind, the vision of your faith keep you where you are. And you've got to take down of the walls of your thinking that I'm never going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. My kids are never going to get saved. My family are always going to be destructive. My relationships are always going to fail. I'm always going to get to the point where I eventually have an empty bank account again. I'm never going to be able to buy a home. There are pictures of the vision of your mind. And if we don't understand that we're called to make our home in a promised place, we will never take down the pictures that keep us in our comfort zone and put up pictures that may feel strange at first, but I'm telling you, those strange pictures will take you to your future. I'm helping somebody today to get a little uncomfortable. Come on. We need to get uncomfortable as a church. When God went to heaven, he sat on a throne. And too many Christians think that because Jesus sat down, now we got to sit down. But I read all the verses in the Bible, and all I can see that God is asking to do for Christians is that Christians need to run. God is sitting, we are running. But too many Christians think that what we need to do is sit so God can run. God's already done his running. It was called dying on a cross. Now he's done it, and now he's seated in a high place, and he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can run our race to the promise that God has in our future. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not done yet. You aren't done yet. There's a marathon and you're not even halfway through. And today's service is a little bit of a Gatorade pit stop on the marathon so that I can inject you with some enthusiasm to understand that you're going somewhere. Amen. Number three. Is you got to forget what is behind. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 and 14 says this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken a hold of it. You haven't taken a hold of all that God has for you yet. But the one thing I do is I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on. Everybody say press. Press to yes. I press toward the goal and win the prize that God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. You are becoming someone that you're not today. God has a plan for your life and he's turning you into something. And the life that you live is turning into something. And this church is turning into something. I think about what are God's thoughts over this church? What is God's thoughts over your life? What is God's thoughts over your family, over your future? Now, you might be sitting here today thinking, I'm actually really quite happy. And I think, Pastor Sam, you really need to get happy with this church. Like, isn't it good enough? Like, Pastor Sam, the fact that you're up here on stage, unsettled with where you're at, that's an issue. But I didn't ask you to not be content with where you're at. I asked you to get uncomfortable. You can be uncomfortable with where you're at, but still content. Now, I'm content with what God has done in this church, but I'm very uncomfortable that there's so much more to do. And you're content with where your life and where God's got your life to this point, but you ought to be very uncomfortable that he's not done. You ought to be very uncomfortable between the gap of where you're going and where you are. God has so much more for you. And the reason that he wants to do so much more in your life, in Romans chapter 12, it says that you become the proof of God. It says that your life, a changed pattern by renewed thinking, that you aren't adopting the pattern of this world, but you're becoming the pattern of the new version of you, that you become the proof of hope found in Jesus Christ. And the reason that you need to dislodge your settledness, dislodge your satisfaction, get unsatisfied with where you're at is because God wants to prove something to all those people around you that have lost hope, that are in fear, that are in depression and in destruction. And he wants to point their eyes to you and your life and say, see, Here is the proof that I exist. Here is the proof of the hope found in Jesus. Here is the proof found in the city of Toronto that a church can be alive, that campuses can be planted. And when you are in doubt, what you need to do is walk into C3 Toronto and you're going to find that you can do it, that you can get through, that you can overcome, that breakthrough is yours. There needs to be a campus of this church in every city in Ontario. There needs to be a campus of this church in every city across Canada. Why? Not because we're happy. I'd be happy with where we're at right now. All you guys, I mean, the best people of Toronto came to church first. So we're good. And it's a great community. We have like 50 connect groups or whatever, and we're seeing a lot of good stuff happen. But the presence of okay can become the enemy to God's covenant. And God wants to do so much more through your life. And you may feel like you're okay, but God isn't done yet. You need to get uncomfortable in your seat. Well, I feel like I've got enough money. No, you got enough money for you. Stop being so selfish and start to believe God for more money so that God can do more through you. Well, I feel like I got enough friends. Well, how many people know that God doesn't want to surround you with a bunch of people just to make you feel like you get a warm hug every day? God wants to surround you with an army, and the Bible says that the work is a few. So you need a few more friends. Because it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God and what God wants to do through you. So how many people are ready to forget what's behind? Sometimes, get this, sometimes we pray prayers and God answered those prayers, and then we settle in the prayers of yesterday. We settle in the answered prayer of yesterday's faith. So there once was a day where you were believing. You were going, God, I just pray. I just pray for an awesome church, a gospel-centered, Bible-preaching, unbelievable church with really good-looking people and the best preacher on the planet. And then C3 Toronto started, and you're like, my prayers are answered, and man, that boy can preach. I'm playing with you right now, all right? Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. And so God answers your prayers and you feel pretty good about where you're at in life. But I remember once we were praying for a venue because we were going through 13 different venues in this city in the first year and a half of this church's existence. And we got an answered prayer in 319 Ossington Avenue. It was a Catholic elementary school, and 319 Ossington, it even, like Ephesians 3:19 was the word God gave me, and 319, it was like it even had a scripture attached to that prayer. And we got into 319 Ossington Avenue, and God had answered our prayer. And then about a year and a bit through that answered prayer, God started to dislodge my settledness. Started to say, no, I got another future place for you. And I started to wrestle with the thought if I could sit where I was, comfortable and happy, because I was exhausted going from venue to venue to venue and going from and trying to lead the church to a place of unsettledness. And then I felt like okay with where we were at. My comfortability became the enemy of my covenant. And I feel the same tension right now in our church. We planted two campuses. We've seen a little over 1,900 people give their lives to Christ in this church. And we need to praise God. Come on, you need to praise God. And we're only week two in the time that we've started a second location. But I'm already feeling a little uncomfortable that the fact that there is more unsaved people outside of this house than there are inside this house, that the city of Toronto is surrounded by so many people, and we need to get a little unsettled and thank God for the past and thank God for where we've come from. But at the same time that we're thanking God where we've come from, get a new vision for where we're going, to forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, Isaiah says, and take a hold of the new thing. So we came into this venue, came into 725 Bathurst, and then the rest is history. Sometimes God wants us to dislodge ourselves even out of the answered prayer of yesterday's faith. How insane is that? That something God called us to could eventually become disobedience. Whoo! So who are we, church? Turn to the person next to you and say, he's not done yet. And you're just talking about my preaching. God's not done yet either. Listen, God wants you to become the proof of his existence. Until all the realities of heaven have been appropriated in your current circumstance, God still has more work to do. But I sense something on the inside of you that you're unsettled, that you're uncomfortable, and you're ready to go. That the things and the promises and the yeses over your life that you're believing for them, I can sense it on the inside of you. It's existed since the conception of this church. I remember when this church was 30 people. But you would walk in and you knew it wasn't going to stay that way. You would walk into the church and you would see the potent faith of a 30 people who are uncomfortable with settling, who are uncomfortable with how the gospel needed to be told, with uncomfortable with the fact that people needed to know the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. And you in your life ought to be uncomfortable that there is more for you to be had, but it's not for you. It's so that God can use your life as the proof of his good and his perfect and his pleasing will in your life. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great clap offering. Come on. So you make your home in the future. You make your home in the future, and the elasticity of the vision pulls you forward. The antidote to sin might be something that you need to let go of. The antidote to sin is actually vision. You don't need to deal with sin. You just need to get a picture and a vision for righteousness. The only reason that someone sleeps around looking for love is because the vision of marriage and covenant is weak in their life. But when you get a picture of marriage and covenant and you see that God set it up and you see that it's a prize to be had, then you understand that when you run your race in a way to obtain the prize, you understand that there is a way to run the race and it isn't sleeping around. You understand that you are the prize and you understand that the prize at the end of that vision has elasticity to it and it pulls you away from Friday late at night looking for a booty call. The antidote to sin is vision. The more vision you have, the less you'll turn to the bottle. The more vision you have, the less you'll complain and bicker and be offended. The more vision you have, the less depressed that you'll be. Because you understand that faith has clear eyes and a strong heart and a strong arm. And you understand that you can see clearly what is not evident in your life yet, but faith makes it evident. And you understand it is only a matter of time that I get out of this depression and I get the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I need not to even worry about the fear, because he didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And there is no appropriation of what I have gotten comfortable with, now it starts to feel a little strange. When you got a vision for freedom, fear starts to feel strange. When you got a vision for hope, depression starts to feel strange. When you got a vision for health and wholeness, then addiction and temptation and medicating certain things, then you start to get pulled out of that. Forgetting what is behind. I'm just going to get the band back up. Got to let go. This church is a church filled with a yes from God. Like every other church in this city, there is a giant plan and a purpose over this house. There is a giant plan and purpose over your life. God is doing something. He's working something. He's lining you up that you got to press to yes. You got to be so dissatisfied with where you currently are. You got to forget the former things, but you got to press on in Jesus. The promise that Abraham was going for, the promise that he was after, is Jesus Himself. The ultimate promise in our life is Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the New Testament. So the Bible says that Abraham actually never obtained the promise. The promised land is actually a promised relationship. The home that we have is actually our heart. And what Jesus does is instead of trying to make us make home in the promise that we can't obtain, He took the promise and He came into our home. In the Old Testament, they were constantly trying to relocate who they were into the promise that is Jesus. But it didn't work, God said. So what He did is He took the promise that is Jesus. And Jesus came home. And the good news about this is that you don't press on out of sin. You don't press on out of your old life. You don't press on out of this thing all on your own to get to Jesus. But Jesus actually made Himself promise right in the middle of your life. Come on. So in Romans 12, where it says, become a new person, change the pattern of the old and make it new. And it says, you'll prove my existence. You'll prove my good, pleasing, and perfect plan. In the beginning of that verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, in view of these mercies you can offer yourself. What are the mercies? The mercies is the mercy of God that Jesus died on the cross for you. The mercy of God that you have grace. The mercy of God that when He ascended, you now have the Holy Spirit. So you do not press on out of your own strength. You do not press on because you got it all together. You do not press on to the yes of God over your life. Your amen has no power in it until it's filled with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Jesus stepped out of heaven, His home, to come into your heart, His new home. So that every step you take, as you stride, as you strive, as you run, you do it in Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, He's not done yet. You guys can take the board. Thanks, guys. God has given us, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, by His divine power, He has given us everything we need for a godly life. I mean, the gospel, the greatest days for the gospel in the city of Toronto are ahead of us. Not only this church, but every Bible-believing church in this city, the greatest days for the gospel are ahead of us. Just leave it there, guys. Just leave it there. The greatest days of your life are ahead of you. Jesus doesn't want you to try and do it by yourself. He wants to do it in relationship with you. The promised land is heaven, but for now, it's your heart. And rather than you always feeling like you're inadequate, rather than you always feeling like you don't have what it takes, God came out of heaven and He wants to come in to your heart.